Thank you for joining us. You're listening to Coast AM. My name's Connie Willis. Hey, it was great to talk with Stan Larimer last hour, talking The Godfather of Bishares. And I had so many questions, I just couldn't get them all answered. And I thank all of you for being a part of that and writing me and all that kind of stuff. I know a lot of people were saying, well, nobody can use, just another tip out there for those of you. You can trade out things. Like, let's say I wanted to do somebody wanted me to do an audiobook for them or some sort of narration for them. I'm talking about doing a trade with some BitShares or Bitcoin or something like that. So you can do that kind of stuff. Then you can sell, maybe you're doing a yard sale and instead of taking money, say, I'll take some cryptocurrency instead. And you see people tipping people all the time, when you want to say, oh, you did a good job on your YouTube channel or this or that, I'm going to throw some BitShares or Bitcoin or whatever your way. You can do that stuff now. So, you can play around with it and you can trade out your massages or whatever, that kind of stuff. So it doesn't have to be total business. It's kind of fun that way too. Everybody's having a good time with that. So I thank him for showing up. And Mark Sargent is going to be coming up for us next year. We're going to be talking about the flat Earth and Antarctica and how that works together. With stations all over the U.S., North America, Puerto Rico, Guam, and by satellite, we are Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Connie Willis. And yep, we're going to go down a rabbit hole. Yep. This one's a big one. And what I've been told, it kind of goes a long way. It's kind of a deep hole. People are still falling. No one's hit rock bottom. You better watch it. You might not, maybe there's no bottom. But who we're going to talk to is Mark Sargent. And Mark has started his career playing computer games professionally. Okay, that's cool in itself. That's fun. Well, from there, he spent like 20 years troubleshooting and helping to train people in software. And I guess it was in 2014 that he started getting into this thing called the flat Earth theory. And through all sorts of research, he's a conspiracy guy now. And he wasn't thinking about this one. He got into it. And he started doing his research and he was like, maybe there's something to this. And so he started doing something on his YouTube channel where he did, it was called Flat Earth Clues. It's a series of videos and it talks about the possibility of our human civilization actually being inside a Truman Show, like the movie that you've seen, and how it's like an enclosed system and how it's been hidden from the public since 1956. So, Mark, welcome back to Coast. I know you've been here before. Hi, how are you?
I am fine, Connie, and thank you so much for having me.
Oh, I'm excited about this. When I first spoke with you to say hey and ask you about coming on, I felt like I knew you already. You just have this a great presence about you. And I think you could actually sell, what do people say, ice to an Eskimo kind of thing. I mean, you just, it's just the way it is. I think people will say the same at the end of this show. But how did you get into the flat Earth theory? I mean, I understand that you've been into conspiracies, you're into that.
Right.
But how this one?
Conspiracy boredom, if that term is actually a real thing.
Yes.
That's really how it started. I was into conspiracies since the early 90s. Before that, I was completely naive, dumb blonde growing up in a very rural island up in north of Seattle, and saw JFK in the theater in the early 90s, and I was like, wow, holy smokes, people actually lie. Like,
Yeah,
exactly.
right.
There's such a thing as a conspiracy. Didn't believe in them. And then over the next 20 years, really delved into it so much to where everything was getting redundant. And I literally was like, okay, what else is there? I think I have an opinion on just about every conspiracy out there. What else is there? And flat Earth is always in the corner. Flat Earth isn't something new. We all know what it is, right? It's like, it's just, we just wave it off. It's like, get out of here. It's like, get out of here, stupid flat Earth. I don't want to talk to you. And then all of a sudden I did. It's like, okay, fine, I'll look into it. So summer of 2014, I looked at a video made by some German guy who was talking about how the flight paths in the Southern Hemisphere don't make any sense. They're all over the place. The connections are just too weird, and the routes don't make any sense at all. And I go, okay, that's pretty interesting. And he goes, here's where it gets strange. He goes, it only makes sense if the world isn't a sphere, if it's actually flat. And I go, okay, That's intriguing, but I should be able to shoot this thing down in a weekend. You know, I can debunk some conspiracies if I want. And 9 months later, I'm sitting there at my computer, just banging my head on the computer, and I'm saying, I can't do it. And then I woke up at the beginning of 2015, February 10th, I remember the day, 3:30 in the morning, and had that Jerry Maguire moment where I said, you know what, I can't prove the globe in a court of law anymore. I can't do it. So I needed help. So I wrote a I wrote my very first one. It was the Flat Earth Clues introduction, and I put it out on the internet. Never even made a video and put it out there before. You know, made it, narrated it myself, wrote it, made some silly slides, and used a free software program, put it up on YouTube, and said, okay, somebody help me out here. Tell me where I went wrong. Tell me how you know it's a globe. And thought for sure that some academic was going to shoot this thing down, somebody with a master's degree in astronomy or astrophysics. And instead, the opposite started happening, where people were calling me, they wanted to know more, and people were calling me, they were subject matter experts in their respective fields, and people wanted to talk about interviews. And what? It's like, you're not helping me. I need sleep. I need to get this thing out of my head. And so I made more clues. Like, okay, here's why. Really, you know, I started making more and more of these clues, and I made my first 7 clues in 8 days, and went from, you know, no views. I made a Creative Commons license, put my phone number out there. My email
I know address. I can't believe it, Mark. Oh my gosh! When I first saw it, I went, oh, this guy's got his email. Okay, I can contact him. What is that? Is that his phone number? Is his phone number on this documentary? Is that his phone number on the YouTube channel? I couldn't believe it. And I called you, and there you were.
I used to answer the phone directly. Now I have to screen it because there's
calls. Yes.
It's still the same number, though. You can call it. The phone's sitting right next to me. And because of that, because I made myself accessible, I didn't monetize my channel for the first 15 months. I didn't put the thumbs down. I know. I made a Creative Commons license. Anybody could take it. Well, who knew?
And they did.
They did take it. Oh yeah, people grabbed them and made. In fact, I had so many people calling me up and said, "Oh yeah, I loved your movie," and I thought it was a fluke. It was like, "Oh, you know, 15, 20 minutes isn't really a movie." And it's like, no. And then people say, "I loved your 2-hour movie." I was going, "What 2-hour movie are you talking about?" And then they would send me the link. And it's like, "Wait, you're not this guy." And there were a couple people that took my clues, they mashed them up, you know, they spliced them together and made them into a 2-hour movie. One of the videos was called Under the Dome.
Under the Dome. That's how I found you. And I was surprised. Yeah. I thought this wasn't you. I thought this was you. Yeah,
that
I did the same thing.
That was not me. And the other one was
too bad.
I know. They Were Hiding God with the Greatest Lie Ever. And those guys have millions of hits.
I know.
I mean, it's me. It's totally me, but it's not my channel. I have nothing to do with it. And but people were calling me because the phone number is embedded in the video.
I know.
Started calling me. So that's how I got into it. And here we are 2 years later, national conference just happened, tons of subscribers and lots of people that are doing it, and
Coast to Coast snagging you. I'm going to put you on Blue Rock Talk. I mean, this is great, right? Now, before we get into a little bit more, you got to tell me, because I don't want to forget, but on our, you know, even on coasttocoastam.com, we have the story of the guy that's, you know, got the homemade rocket. So before we get into anything, I want to remember to talk about this dude, because that's happening this weekend. Tell me about that.
Yeah. Mad Mike Hughes. He was a guy that approached us about doing. He's a daredevil by trade, and he started as like a NASCAR driver, and then became a limousine driver. But he was kind of like one of those Evel Knievel types.
Wait a minute, he was a NASCAR guy, then he went limousine. What?
Well, he's older. I mean, I think he retired from NASCAR. He's I think 62. So
I'm gonna get a limo with him. I'm sorry.
So he always wanted to be a stuntman and do this stuff. And he's done other rocket jumps before, but he really wanted to do something special. And he knew that Flat Earth was very, very trending. And we've been doing some crowdfunding stuff. And he's like, you know, he came to us for funding, basically, one of our other guys. And we did a thing and gave him some money, and it's like, hey, let's put a big Flat Earth sticker on the side of this rock. He goes, sure, why not? You know, and he became a Flat Earther, but he hasn't been in that long. And he was supposed to launch during the summer, and he didn't. He postponed, and actually the timing worked out really well. It's Thanksgiving weekend, and the national news, I mean, everybody's running this story because it's a good, interesting story for Thanksgiving weekend. Let's face it, like, you know, not that many football games on Thanksgiving, and everybody picked this up, Associated Press and Fox. If you can think of it, they covered it. And it's happening supposedly this Saturday. However, I have an update for you, almost just for you.
Yay!
The Department of Bureau of Land something basically got enough attention that some of the higher up government people called the Parks Department in California and said, "Where is he launching from exactly? Because what approval has he gotten to do this? Because he's jumping over a town." He's going to jump over Amboy, California, which is off the old Route 66 under Whitney Highway 40. There's nobody living there. There's like five people in the whole town. But he was supposedly going to launch, I think, out of a park, like a public area, like a government-owned area. And so they didn't give him approval. So he's like, okay. And the Washington Post just mentioned this today, to where he's going to go to a private residence now with acreage and launch it from there. I don't know what that will do to his trajectory and his landing zone. I don't know. But we should probably mention this. This is not, despite what the headlines say, this is not a research test at all. He's not testing anything. He's only going up a couple thousand feet. I mean, you know, airplanes fly at 30,000 feet. You can go up to a mountain.
What's he doing? He's going to go up and then jump out with a parachute or what? I thought he was kind of trying to hit the top of the globe, you know, what we're in.
No. It started out as just an awareness stunt, a media thing, more than anything. It's like, oh, raise awareness for flat Earth. That's all it was supposed to be. But because the sticker was so prominent on the side of this thing, somebody, and I can't remember which newspaper it was, said, oh, well, he must be trying to prove the flat Earth. And everybody else ran with it to where now, I mean, and we're, you know, the flat Earth community is going crazy. We're going, no, he's not testing anything. In fact, he's not jumping out either, by the way. He's locked in. This is straight out of 1974.
Snake River.
Where he's locked in. Most people don't know. Evel Knievel, if he would have hit the water inside that canyon, he would have drowned. You're not getting out of that thing. And so that's the whole point. You're not getting out of the rocket. You're not going to be thrown from the rocket. So he's just going to go up. The parachute's going to pop out the back like a drag racer, and he's going to float down to the ground. That's all it's supposed to be.
Wow.
My Lord. And honestly, I thought, a few media places would run it. I didn't think Associated Press would run it. I didn't think Fox News and ABC and NBC. And it was on GQ. It was Forbes magazine. Wow. Why? Why are you guys? Because it's an interesting, kooky sort of story. You know,
Coast would have it. Hey, we're there. We're there for you.
Of course. I mean, but it is an interesting story. I'll give you this. And the picture is perfect. It's this giant red rocket. He's standing in front of it with sunglasses. You know, he looks very Californian in his jeans and what looks like to be like a garage mechanic shirt. Interesting guy. And I'm glad that we're tied to him. Well, I have to, you know, can't wait to see how it goes. But yeah, no, he's not testing anything. I really appreciate the fact that everybody's making it into a flat Earth research test, even though no one's actually asked him what test it would be. But that's what it does.
Okay, flat Earth, the way you've got it pictured in my mind from what you've said, what I've seen and watched, how far could he go before it would like go pink, you know, hit something?
He'd have to go a long, 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 long way. If his rocket's only got 2,000 feet, do you remember your average commercial airliner caps out at about 10 miles, spy planes, if you believe the military, caps out at about 20 miles. He'd have to go up. Someone would have to go up way, way higher. People ask me all the time. It's like, well, how high would you have to go before you hit the ceiling of this thing? And I'm thinking, you know, judging by just the public military tests that they did, the high altitude atomic testing that was done from 58 to 62, where they were just firing nukes straight up for 4 years, minimum would have to be like 400 kilometers if you believe the military. Some people say it's less, and it's like, well, I mean, it could be less. But it's definitely not below commercial airline traffic and or spy planes. I mean, remember, spy planes only 20 miles. That's not very far.
Well, what's the man's name?
Oh, Mike Hughes.
Mike Hughes. Well, Mike, we wish you the best and for your safety as well, and everything turns out right, and that he gets to do it tomorrow. Do you have a time?
No, and I don't think he has a time either. I mean, because now he's got to go to somebody's property. I mean, we're not talking, it's not a real high-tech rocket. I mean, he's literally pulling this thing on the back of a trailer and then, winching it up and just letting it go. And it's not even new tech. It's using literally the same tech that Evel Knievel did in 74 in Snake River. It's a superheated steam. So he may set a record, a world record for jumping the town. Maybe a world record as far as the steam, that type of rocket launch. But yeah, Godspeed, Mike. I hope
Yeah, I'm
don't
wishing him the
die.
best.
Don't die.
No, yeah, okay, well, we'll put it that way. Exactly right.
Yeah,
That
he's bad. I
I
do
hope.
not want him to auger that thing into the ground.
No,
That
yeah.
would
Oh, wow. Well, looking forward to that, and keep us in touch, for sure,
Oh,
and let
yeah.
us know how it goes.
I'll
That's.
give you the updates as soon as I get them. I don't think he, honestly, between you and me, I don't think he's going to launch tomorrow. I think he's going to wait until Monday, even though the media has been badgering him. As you can imagine, everyone, once they figure out how to get a hold of him, people were calling him and calling him. And so I'm thinking, okay, Sunday he might do it. It'd be perfect if he did on Sunday for the Monday, media to jump off of. But I don't know. I don't think he'll do it till Monday, personally. That's just me.
Well, I think it's pretty cool, and what a great weekend that it happened. You and I discussing being on coast tonight. I mean, we didn't have any idea. I mean, I didn't have any idea that this was happening. So I thought, oh, what a great, coincidence. And maybe it's not a coincidence. There are no
Oh,
coincidences,
coincidence.
right?
No,
Right? There's
it's
a.
a cool thing, and it eclipsed all the other Flat Earth new headlines that were happening.
Yeah.
It was so fast that how there's just this waves. I just kept seeing the same picture of that red rocket freaking everywhere I
I
went.
know it's everywhere. And listen, we only got about a minute before we have to take a break. So I don't want to ask you some of the questions that I want to ask you yet because I know it's going to take a little longer. But I do want to, if you can just say it in like a less than a minute here. You just were at a big conference, correct? How did that go? I mean, you got more and more people believing this than most people would think, correct?
Oh yeah, this is not some flash in the pan. We had the first national flat Earth conference in the history of 241 history of the United States in Raleigh, North Carolina. It just happened at the beginning of this month. I was there with, I don't know, 500, 700, 800, I don't even know how many people. A lot of people from around the country and different countries, and I was interviewed, I think, 14 times in 2 days. And was not expecting that much media. It was an amazing production, lots of speakers from YouTube channels, and everything was very professional and it was great. You guys can check out all the highlights by going just about anywhere online and just typing in Flat Earth Conference.
Yeah, and what what was your website too? Enclosed World?
Enclosedworld.com.
I love it. We're going to talk more about that. I just love that name, Enclosed World. Right there, that gives you that visual, that theater of the mind that radio does for you. So everybody stick around. We're talking with Mark Sargent. We're going to be talking about Antarctica as well as flat Earth combined together. What's that mean? More to come. Stay with us. It's going to be very interesting. Coast to Coast AM. It's another very interesting show here on Coast to Coast AM, the real theater of the mind happening tonight. Connie Willis here, along with Mark Sargent, talking about the flat earth theory. Now, Mark, I want you to use the theater of the mind. I know you can be good at this. I know you got that creativity.
All
Give us a visual of this flat earth, how you see it.
It really depends what kind of person you are because different things resonate with different people. So if you're older, if I said a planetarium, that might work. If I said terrarium, if I said a sports stadium, most people would know what that looks like. My favorite would be The Truman Show from the 1998 movie with Jim Carrey, which is kind of a cross between a giant sports stadium and a planetarium. So we're talking about a flat disk, which is enclosed by some sort of dome structure. And it's very, very, very large. So large that most of our history, we didn't even the authorities didn't know where they were until the United States and the Soviet Union both figured it out in around 1956, 1957, and when they found the outer marker out in Antarctica and figured out, you know what, let's just keep a lid on this thing.
Now,
Again,
how do you
we
know
didn't.
that? How do you know that they saw that then?
Well, when I was doing research on this, when I was looking at when I first was digging into the whole flat Earth theory, first off, I started off with Hollow Earth, which I thought was very interesting in itself, which was
Yeah, and it's not
there's
the
some.
same thing. It's not the
It
same
is
thing,
not. It
Hollow
is
Earth
not the
and
same.
flat
It
Earth.
is not the
No.
same thing. Hollow Earth is a whole subterranean system, journey to the center of the Earth. You know, big caverns where entire civilizations can live. But I followed a guy named Admiral Richard Byrd, who was the youngest admiral in the United States Navy, made admiral at age 41, who went to the North Pole in 1926 in a rickety plane. And then, what was strange was the military basically had him going to Antarctica from 1928 up until his death, his eventual death in 1957. And they were down there with a whole bunch of other countries, and he was basically flying around there for the better part of 30 years looking for something. And he flew his own planes, and planes got a lot better from 1928 until the 1950s. And he went down for one more mission in 1955, 1956, which is called Operation Deep Freeze. Most people in the conspiracy world are going, "Where have I heard this name before?" You would have heard about him because he's most known for Operation High Jump, which was in 1946, right after World War II, supposedly rooting out the last of the Nazi bases. And part of that was true, which was that Nazi Germany was the only country that was down in Antarctica during the World War. Everybody else had gone off to fight, but they were down there, you know, the whole Indiana Jones thing. So he comes on television, Admiral Byrd does in 1954, and it's a fantastic clip. I recommend anybody watch it if they can. Goes on a 60 Minutes show of the day and says that Antarctica is this untapped resource. The place is basically made out of money. There's coal enough for the entire world, there's uranium, there's minerals, there's oil, gas, all that stuff. And they're setting up for Operation Deep Freeze. And then when he gets down there, whatever he discovers, and yes, I know I'm connecting the dots a little bit here, whatever he discovers changes everything that every government did from that point on. The world changed, literally, from 1957 on to where they sealed off Antarctica, all the countries that were down there, Russia, UK, Argentina, Chile, Australia, the US, everybody who was down there left the ice as fast as they could. And in their wake, they instituted what's now the 1959 Antarctic Treaty. They drew that up almost immediately, that said Antarctica is off limits forever. The general population does not know this. Now, does this mean, Connie, that you can't go down there? No, of course not. You can go down, you can book a trip tomorrow, because some of your people are probably scrambling on a website right now. It's like, I can
Right.
totally go to Antarctica. I know
Yeah.
people that have. Oh, yeah. If you want to book a trip to Antarctica, 15 grand from America, you could do it. You could go down there, have your picture taken with penguins, go to the peninsula, and wear some orange safety gear. It'd be really fun. But you, as a company, as a corporation, cannot go down there. It doesn't matter. And that was one of the really weird parts for me when I was looking at Antarctica, was no corporation, no matter how big, no matter how many liquid assets they have. No, not only does nobody own Antarctica, which is amazing in itself. Look, every piece of property that we know is owned by somebody, except for Antarctica. But no oil and gas company go down there. No mineral company. Nobody can go down there ever. I mean, this is the only unbroken treaty in the history of our civilization, not even up for debate until the year 2041. And it gets
Oh,
even
till
stranger.
2041.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's not even. I mean, that's when that's just a thing they kicked down the road. I'm sure if
I
2041 actually
got you.
came around, it'd be like, nope, we're going to extend another 30 years. Now, what's stranger than that is that not only is a corporation's not allowed to go down there, you're not even supposed to talk about it. Meaning, if I'm the head of ExxonMobil, right, I've got gobs of liquid cash. If I want to frack in your backyard tomorrow, I could probably make that happen. It's just a question of how many people I have to bribe to do it. County commissioners, mayors, governors, senators, congressmen, we all know how the game works. But and if I wanted to, let's say I wanted to get into Antarctica, I mean, I'd go to the Washington Post, New York Times, I can run full page ads every month. How great would it be for ExxonMobil to go to Antarctica? You never see those stories. Nobody protests, nobody complains, and not just America, any country. I mean, UK and the Soviet Union, they needed the resources after World War II. Nope, they don't get to talk about it. China, nobody protests. It's one of those things at the highest echelon. Antarctica is sealed off. And your listeners are probably saying, why? Why in the world would it be sealed off? Because somewhere out there in the ice and snow is the outer marker. Think about this. The first thing people say, well, you know, why doesn't the water fall off? It's like, no. The Antarctic coastline is 200 feet straight up of ice, and then it plateaus up at about 14,000 feet. It's the most unique continent we have. But somewhere out in that ice and snow is the outer barrier. It is the edge of the dome, the barrier, whatever you want to call it. The edge is out there, and they don't want to even take a chance. That's what makes this this particular conspiracy bigger than money. There's very
Has someone seen that, though, or they just think that's another theory?
There are no pictures. There are no whispers. All we know is the
people
country.
Scrammed. They all scrammed at one point.
Yeah, everyone was there. Think about this. We all know that money and power that's what rules this civilization. Tell me when something is bigger than money. Where it's like, you know what, doesn't matter how much money is involved, everyone off the ice right now. And that's because you would, like, you know, let's say you had a petroleum company, you would have helicopters and planes and trucks and things. Eventually they would start encroaching, and sooner or later you'd have to have this fail-safe line and say, look, you can't go past this for national security. And let's say a plane did go off course. Well, there's a loose end you got to tie up. So they decide, you know what, let's just call the whole, just shut it all down. Just put the gates up, lock it, put a padlock on that thing. Nobody gets to go run around there for free. Again, you can go down there, have your picture taken, but to do anything there from a corporation standpoint, nope, never, ever happened. Some people say, well, you know, it's green, you know, it's the environmental issues. There's environmental things that are happening. No. Greenpeace wasn't even formed until 1972. 1959, there was no such thing as environmentalism. Nobody cared.
What about the other thought of you're saying it's the edge of the earth? What about the people that say no, they found aliens? There's aliens there. There's all this stuff going on. There's these bases.
Sure.
What about that?
Maybe
that's it.
I mean,
does that have anything to do with that?
That dovetails in fairly well, because one of the next questions that people ramp up to is, okay, let's say we are living in a giant enclosed world, right? Who built it? Well, then you got to look at, all right, well, the builders are the builders out there. Look at all the weird things that happened in 2017 with all the world leaders that were going down there for whatever reason. Now, what I'm saying is, people, again, there's some big concepts here. I know this channel deals with some alien stuff. I'm not saying that there aren't aliens. I'm just saying there's definitely things flying around, and there's other civilizations and other species and other advanced races, sure. I'm just saying that they don't come from Mars and Jupiter. I'm saying they're coming from outside of this place, that they're probably right next to us. They're not millions and billions of light years away or, you know, the next planet over. They are literally quite on the other side of this. In fact, they could be living in another version of this, or they could be in here with us.
Yeah, do you think that we're like some 16 or like, you know, some sixth grade alien kids project, like a little ant farm?
Possibly. It really depends, because when I look at this place, when I was trying to build it out in my head, the whole thought experiment, I realized that we were not the first people to rent this apartment, not by any stretch.
Oh, I love that. I love listening to you. I really do. You're a joy to listen to, and that's funny. Rent, this is not the only... Say that again.
We literally aren't the first group to rent this apartment, and the reason is because we find evidence of previous civilizations. Look, our...
Right.
Only goes back like 5,000 years, but yet we find sunken cities off of India, sunken cities off of Japan, and how old are the pyramids?
Right.
And are the Bosnian pyramids real? And Bimini Road and Atlantis, and oh my God, you go on and on. So the question is, what version are we? Are we, you know, are we version 7? Are we version 9? And then it's like, okay, who were the previous versions, and what did they have to deal with? And I have no doubt that there was another civilization that had to move off before we got in. And when our group has run its course, there will be someone in behind us. Not necessarily a sinister thing, like the end of the world, kind of like a school, like you were mentioning, like a sixth grade. Only let's call it high school. You know, as, when you're a senior, it's like, yeah, senior's great. You know, you graduated. Love you. You're great. But you got to go because we got another freshman class coming in. You know, you don't have to go home, but you got to get the heck out of here type of thing. And that's where I think we are. The only question is, are there remnants of previous civilization that survived or just hanging around? Did they go subterranean? Did they go somewhere else and are a part of this? I know that they aren't allowed, you know, for obvious reasons, to interact with us directly because it would change our history. You know, you can't just land a spaceship in the middle of downtown anywhere and come out, shake hands, take pictures, and sign a few autographs, take some selfies, because it would, you know, you could potentially create a whole new religion. So
I think they tried to in Phoenix at one point in 79. I think they tried.
Yes.
But people still, you know, didn't. Yeah. You know, anyway, well, so anyway. Okay. So the flat Earth, and I do know a lot of the things that we have been told are theories. Especially one of the things is we can only dig down so far on the planet, and you know, before things, it collapses. So you got to dig out further to go deeper, or it will collapse, and further out and deeper. And I know that the center of the Earth, what they believe is the core, is only speculation. It's only theory. Nobody knows. No one's ever been able to go down there to say exactly what's there.
Absolutely right.
Right?
Science makes massive leaps of faith. And I'm not attacking science directly and saying that science is a bad thing. I'm saying that they tend to make leaps, even though they claim they don't, they make leaps of faith like anybody else. Think of the things you can prove right now. You know, water is wet, fire burns, you can drop something that falls to the floor. You can test these right in your home or in your car right now. But when it comes to things like the shape of the Earth or the core of the Earth, these are things you are told. The core of the Earth especially, we all know the cross-sections that we see in science books, you know, where it shows the red band and the orange and the yellow and that white center. But each seems to be exactly 1,000 miles thick for whatever reason. But most people don't understand that, you know, and supposedly it's 4,000 miles. If you dug down right now, it'd be 4,000 miles to the center of the Earth, supposedly. So what's that based on? What's the deepest hole ever drilled? Is it, you know, is it 1,000 miles? Is it 100 miles? Because remember, 1% is 40 miles. The deepest hole ever drilled is 8 miles.
That's amazing.
It's like, okay, 8 miles. So what exactly are you showing with the cross-section? And what I found out was they used to, back in the day, a long time ago, put little small fine prints underneath those cross-sections. And said, oh, yeah, we're speculating. We're expanding. We don't really know. And then at some point they decided, you know what? Let's just get rid of the fine print.
Yes. Well, that's the problem.
That's a dangerous thing because now it's like, okay, a 9-year-old just saw that, and then he saw it as he's graduating from high school. It's like, oh, yeah, that's what the core of the Earth looks like. They have no, it's like, even if you could try to convince me, by the way, that ground penetrating radar was doing this, it's like, okay, yeah, I'm not buying it for one. And even if you could convince me the core of the Earth, why are you showing me the core of Neptune and Jupiter and Saturn? It's like, you don't even have anything there, let alone high tech stuff that you could actually pull this off with. Science makes massive, massive leaps. And let me throw a quote out for you real quick. Neil deGrasse Tyson, probably the most famous physicist out there, you know, the guy with the microphone, he still says on stage, even probably now, tonight, as we speak, he says that science is true whether or not you believe in it. It is one of the most arrogant things I've ever heard in my life. And it's like, if I ever meet Neil Tyson, I'll say, look, tell me about Kelvin. If you're wondering how that name sounds familiar, that's the guy, absolute temperatures are measured in Kelvin. Kelvin, who was the father of thermodynamics, said in 1900 that heavier than air flight is impossible and we will only have balloons in the sky. Literally said, and he was not shy about saying this. He said this for years. And then 3 years before he died, we started making airplanes. So what do you tell me about science is right no matter what?
I haven't heard that name in a long time, by the way. You're right. I was like, Kelvin, I know that name.
Kelvin,
and then it makes sense.
So absolute zero is measured in Kelvin. And he was he said the Aeronautical Society is not something I would ever put a molecule of faith in. And it's like, science lacks vision. And it really bothers me when they do that. So don't tell me what the shape of the world is. What I'm saying is the science is such an institution and so stubborn, because why would they hide it? Why would they hide it? It's like, well, because they were talking about that narrative for 400 and something years, from Copernicus all the way up until now. What I'm proposing is like, okay, let's say they did get high enough in a rocket and turned around and actually looked and saw what the Earth would look like. Would they tell the public what they saw. Not if it went against science. No, they would not. If the institutions protect their own. Think about all the corporations that protect their own. The old saying, and that is, if the settlement cost is less than the price of a recall, we don't do a recall. Science, you know, will protect their own at all costs. And that's what they did here. I challenge anyone. Remember, how do you know, I know we've got to go to break eventually, but how do you know you're on a globe right now? It's because you were told, not because you know. It's because you heard this in a science book, because you saw the globe in your classroom when you were 6 years old. You graduated, hopefully, you know, 12 years later, and the globe was still there. And that's 12 years of conditioning. It was a toy just sitting there until the picture was taken. So remember, the first picture, there's another one I'll throw out. Just throw in little facts. I got all sorts of fun ones.
I think it's called product placement, right, in our world,
exactly.
Right? It's product placement.
Yeah, the first picture of the globe was taken in 1972, the first blue marble shot. Look it up. You know when the second picture was taken? Two summers ago.
Was that the Japanese one that I've got?
Probably.
Oh, I love it. Hey, stay with us, okay? We do have to take a break. Stick with me. We've got Mark Sargent. We're talking flat earth, and we're going to ask him more about the description and why is this a secret coming up here and Antarctica, a little bit deeper into that too on Coast to Coast AM.